I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I want you to know that the mothership has landed.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
What's up, my brother? I want permission to come aboard the mothership.
Asking permission to join a sports talk spaceship? Well, we're all a little crazy. The mothership has connected.
The mothership. Let's come aboard.
Happy Tuesday to you, North America. The mothership has connected. Welcome aboard. It's the 4-hour satellite soiree. DA with you from the CBS Sports Radio studios in New York, broadcasting to affiliates nationwide and north of the border, Anchorage to Atlanta, Los Angeles to Las Vegas, Kalamazoo and Waterloo. We are on the air.
Hey, listening, DA. Everything we saying, DA. Everything.
We appreciate you dropping on by, and we come to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. When you need an expert to help navigate the home loan process, Rocket can. It's a Trash Tuesday. So what exactly is bugging you? Thanksgiving almost here. Those in-laws almost at your house. That food almost has to be cooked. That traffic almost is just around the corner. That travel is almost here. I know there's something bugging you. So what is it? This is a safe zone to vent. Give me a ring on the phones. 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227. And on Twitter, DA on CBS. Here's how today's show lines up. As I mentioned, Trash Tuesday. We'll get to that next hour here on the show from all of us on the staff. Also next hour, Florida State and Clemson going at it through the media. Did the Seminoles duck the Tigers this weekend when they canceled this game? Dabo Swinney thinks so. FSU has a different explanation. Ravens and Steelers coming up on Thursday night. But how hamstrung will the Ravens be? They've had some positive tests and some concerns around their facility. Joe Burrow gets the severity of his injury, and it's not good. Just how much is his team at fault, if at all? And Mike McCarthy had a curious way to motivate his Dallas Cowboys. If you're a fan of 80s comedy like me, you're gonna love this story. Mike McCarthy channeling his inner Gallagher. All of that coming up this morning on the show. Plus, your homespun favorites. Soundcheck, This Date in Mothership History, and Stunned to a News. Plus, Pro Football Hall of Famer Andre Reed is going to join us here on the show. How cool is that? One of the greats, one of the best wide receivers, one of the most productive wide receivers ever to do it, is going to drop on by the show coming up here in hour number 4. So what a totally stacked, awesome, exciting show for you on this Tuesday. Where else to begin besides last night in Tampa Bay as two playoff hopefuls went at it, the Rams and the Buccaneers? Unlike a team, say, the Eagles or the Cowboys or somebody in the NFC East who right now are mildly treading water, trying just to stay at the top of a bad division, both these teams, the Bucs and the Rams, need wins just to stay in the playoff hunt. Because look at their division foes. For the NFC South, the New Orleans Saints are the one seed in the NFC. So the Buccaneers, with hopes not having to play wild card weekend or maybe even getting a bye, need all of these victories. And then on the flip side, you look at the NFC West, perhaps the best division in football, the Arizona Cardinals and the Seattle Seahawks, two very interesting teams when it comes January, both in that division, and the Rams trying to keep pace. So this was a huge one between these two clubs in week 11 of the NFL. And of course, it's Tom Brady. Now, it was Tom Brady, but against one of the best defenses in the NFL. And one thing that we are learning as we make our way into the colder weather or the games that all have a very significant playoff part of this, part of the puzzle, is that Brady versus the best defenses in the NFL is absolutely must-watch theater, because we've seen Brady do it for so long. But this year, there absolutely is just a little bit off of his fastball. And last night, advantage Rams as Los Angeles gets the victory. Here it is, part of your cold open.
Brady's in the shotgun. Rams send four. Brady back to throw. He spins it down the right side and intercepted. Intercepted by Fuller at the 30. His second of the game, he takes a knee. And that should do it for Monday Night Football. The rookie with two picks in Tampa Bay.
Nothing's been great to this point. We've had some good wins, had some tough losses, and you know, everything's about 1 week here in the NFL, and we're gonna have to go play really, really well against a great football team next week.
I don't believe it!
The most amazing, sensational, dramatic, heartrending.
It's DA's top story.
Here he goes.
It's your cold open.
That, of course, was Brady after the game. That was Rams Radio on the call. Final score, Los Angeles 27, Tampa Bay 24. And last night, Tom Brady looked off all night long. The pressure by the Rams got to Brady time and time again. And ultimately, Brady trying to drive his team down the field, threw far over his receiver, into coverage, another interception, two on the night. And that was Brady, I thought, at the end of that game, absolutely hearing footsteps. And in fact, it could have been even worse when he looks like he strip-sacked in the end zone in that fourth quarter, but they call it an incomplete pass as his arm was apparently moving forward, although it looked like the ball was out before his arm was starting to come forward. It was a bad night for Brady. And when you look at this year, this season, and you look at the defenses that the Buccaneers have had four losses handed them by. Saints twice, Bears, Rams. That is right there in a nutshell. The four best defenses he faced this season. The Saints twice, the Bears on that Thursday night, and then last night against the Rams. And yes, good or great defenses are absolutely exposing Tom Brady as ineffective when he plays them. His wins, Panthers, Broncos, Chargers, Raiders, those are not great defenses. Raiders have been good. Those are not great elite defenses, though. He beat the Packers, and the Packers, remember, early in that game, were rolling, and then they flipped the script, and the Packers could do nothing. That was maybe the best win for the Buccaneers, certainly the most impressive in terms of the final score. But again, you wouldn't put the Packers defense, especially with the injuries that they've had, up against those other guys, those other teams that Brady has been beaten by. Last night, Brady looked skittish in the pocket. He did not throw downfield. I think you saw that stat last night that Brady downfield 15 yards or more was completely ineffective last night. Threw for a couple of interceptions, and when they needed big plays, he simply kept checking down and throwing underneath. That was the look of a 43-year-old quarterback facing a beast of a pass rush. And I think that ultimately is going to be the undoing of this Buccaneers team. They're good. They're not great. Tom Brady's been good, but over the course of the season, he has not been completely great. And ultimately, they'll play really good teams and really great defenses when it matters in January. So if you were wondering how this Buccaneers season is going to end, it is going to end at the hands of a great defense in the playoffs, unless somehow the Buccaneers retool everything in the next month and a half, and I don't think that's going to happen. Also, from a Rams standpoint, let's give the Rams some major credit here. Because the Rams don't get talked about with the elite defenses in the NFL, like the Steelers, like the Saints coming around right now, like the Bears, and really they deserve in that conversation. Statistically speaking, they are a top five team, a top five defense in almost every major defensive category. Yards allowed, passing yards allowed, rushing yards allowed, sacks, points given up. In every significant defensive category, the Rams are a top three defense of the NFL. They deserve to be treated like it. I don't think they get the love of those other defenses. I don't think they get the attention of those other defenses, which is ironic considering they're in Los Angeles. But maybe because Aaron Donald is such a soft-spoken guy, he's not demonstrative. Maybe because the rest of that defense is not household names. Jalen Ramsey's excellent. He's elite. But I think outside of Donald and Ramsey, there's not a lot of guys on that defense most people recognize. They don't get the attention they deserve, but that Rams defense is flat out nasty and got to Brady all night long last night. The Rams win 27-24. Big victory for Los Angeles in the playoff race and specifically in that NFC West. 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227, and on Twitter, DA on CBS. Here's how your NFC playoff standings look. The Saints right now are the one seed. They're 8-2. The Rams move up to the two seed at 7-3. They now lead their division at 7-3. The Packers lead the NFC North at 7-3. Right now, the Rams would be the two seed over the Packers because of the Rams' head-to-head tiebreaker. The Eagles, as we know, lead a pitiful NFC East. Your three wild cards of the NFC, Seahawks at 7-3, Buccaneers at 7-4, Cardinals at 6-4, Bears first team out at 5-5. Mraz, you've been banging this drum for a long time that Brady was going to look 43 years old this season. At times, he has certainly turned back the clock, but on a night like last night, he could really do nothing. He was frustrated the entire night by that Rams D.
Yeah, I think this Bucs season and Tom Brady has gone basically how both of us have pegged it. There are going to be moments where Tom Brady looks like Tom Brady, and he sure had a couple of those, especially against the Packers, which I think is the game that everybody clings on and holds on to the hopes of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Meanwhile, that was Aaron Rodgers throwing the Packers out of that game by the end of the first quarter. But he looks old in all of these primetime games. Heck, they won the game versus the Giants, but let's face it, he looked old and bad in that game too, where there were a two-point conversion going away. That could have been 0-4 in primetime games for Tom Brady this year. And frankly, it's really been on him more so than the defense. Last night, up 3 points, I'm sorry, tied, Sean McVay on 3rd and 8 is running the ball, playing for a field goal, not even trusting Jared Goff to throw a pass and get that yardage churning to go try and score a touchdown to make sure you had a touchdown. That told me all I need to know about how teams are viewing their defenses versus Tom Brady. Could you imagine 8 years ago a team playing for a field goal with over 2 minutes left and giving the ball back to Tom Brady with 2 minutes
left? Not even 8 years ago, maybe 2 or 3 years ago.
Maybe 2 or 3 years ago. You'd never do that. It would be like what you would do against Patrick Mahomes today. You'd just wouldn't do it. But that's how little teams and coaches think of Tom Brady if they have a good defense that they know are hitting them. Tom Brady did not complete a pass last night when he was touched. He's also throwing two forward passes. I don't know what the heck's going through his head at that point. Tom Brady is a shell of himself, and there's going to be no fairy tale ending here for Tom Brady in Tampa Bay. This is going to be a team that is thankful there's an extra wild card to make sure they have that comfort of getting in, and they're going to lose off the bat. I don't see them winning on wild card weekend unless they play the NFC East.
That double pass was a highlight, low light, folly, what have you, that you're going to see a lot of today. It's not a real significant play in the game, but it was interesting because Brady throws a pass. It gets knocked down. Again, the Rams defense was all over him. It gets knocked back into his lap. He catches it and then immediately throws it again. It's completed, but obviously you can't throw a double pass.
Right.
I was thinking to myself, I wonder if Brady's reaction is always, I don't want to get tackled. I don't want the ball in my hands. I got to get this out, because the only way that play is a live ball when he catches it.
Right. But that's why it was a completion.
He has to carry it. He has to then be the ball carrier. And I'm just wondering at this point in his career, or maybe because of the Rams defense last night, it was, I don't want the ball anywhere near me. I don't even want to carry this and take a knee because I'm going to get hit. It's just get this out immediately as quickly as possible because I'm scared of getting hit. Last night, very obviously, Brady was here in the footsteps. And that stat that the Monday Night Football crew put up there was pretty alarming. Everybody kept saying, oh, Drew Brees has no arm strength. Drew Brees doesn't throw the football downfield. Last night, Brady on passes over 15 yards at one point of the game was 1 of 9 with an interception. 1 of 9. So, and then his second interception happened when he threw the ball 15 yards downfield in that final drive. So in the ball actually going downfield 15 yards, he was probably, that stat was pretty late in the game, probably 1 of 10 with 2 interceptions.
Which is why when everybody bragged about all the wide receivers they have and how they have so much speed on the outside, it doesn't matter if a guy is basically become a dink and dunking game manager, which is that's what Brady is now. He's older and it should be expected. We shouldn't expect him to be launching balls down the field. He can't do that versus good defenses and good pass rushes. And on another note, him not shaking hands with Jared Goff after the game, what's going to be the excuse now? He did that with Nick Foles and it was an accident. What a pouting baby to do that after some of these losses.
You know, I don't know if he made an excuse after the Nick Foles thing. I just don't know if people really pressed him on it. Did he actually have an excuse about
it? I didn't hear an excuse, but last time, if you remember, after the Foles thing, it also became a bigger deal when he had to meet with the media during the week again, the week that followed, because it kind of mushroomed after that. So I'm curious to see what he says this week.
So this is the second time that he has not shaken the hand of the winning quarterback when he has lost.
Right. Both primetime losses to bad defenses, and he didn't shake the hand.
It's a frustrated Tom Brady. It's a frustrated Tom Brady. I think this has been better than some would have thought. This is better than history would tell you 43 years old should be going to Tampa Bay. There's been some highlights. But Brady definitely has been frustrated probably more this year than in other years with the Patriots. And I think he's frustrated with himself, frustrated with what he probably realized is a door that's going to close in the playoffs. You know, the NFC, okay, it's not the AFC, but there's a lot of teams. There's a lot of teams that can beat the Buccaneers in the playoffs, a lot in the NFC. They might not be flawless teams. They're not the Steelers and the Chiefs, but there's probably 4 teams that all have the potential to beat the Buccaneers of the playoffs and or will get their shot to do so. When we come back here on the show, we've got Soundcheck, your best audio of the day on a Trash Tuesday. And that includes Joe Judge being asked about the fight between him and his offensive line coach, which got that guy fired. And also the night show here on CBS Sports Radio taking a swing at Mraz. It's coming up next in Soundcheck, DA, CBS Sports Radio.
CBS presents this program in color.
An educated person can't think he's going to get a recruit by strippers coming in.
They can fire you, but they can't eat you.
And they run through our ass like through a tin horn, man, and we could not stop them.
The audio you need to hear. It's DA Soundcheck.
And our toll-free line is 855-212-4227, sponsored by GEICO. Whether you rent or own, Geico makes it easy to bundle home and car insurance. Having a home, that's hard work. Get a quote, geico.com. That's easy. Our best audio of the day. We begin with Joe George, head coach of the New York Giants. Last week, had an altercation with his offensive line coach, Mark Colombo, in one circle by one reporter, who is not usually the one breaking news, so take this with a grain of salt. It was reported that there was a physical altercation, a fight, and that Colombo won, and that's why Joe Judge fired him. That was almost universally ripped down, shot down by everybody that actually, you know, covers the Giants and, you know, actually has sources and, you know, actually does their job. So we don't think, it doesn't look like that was this was a physical altercation, but it was a verbal confrontation. It was a yelling match. Apparently it got pretty salty, and that's when Joe Judge decided to fire Mark Colombo. Here's Judge being asked about it.
There's been a lot of information out there, a lot of misinformation, and a lot of people have done a lot of digging trying to find out details of the situation. I'm not going to rehash any of that. I just saying the whole thing, we wish Mark luck going forward. And the decision we made was in the best interest of the New York Giants, short and long term. I've made this clear from day one. I'm always going to make every decision and what I see is best for the team. This decision was no different.
Well, I think that Joe Judge, it just strikes me this way because he's now 11 weeks into his NFL career. So hard to make any sweeping generalizations about his coaching style and his history and his assistant coaching staff. But it sounds like there is already a little trouble in paradise where Judge wants to get rid of some of the guys that's on his staff, and Colombo was one of them. Maybe Jason Garrett is another one of them. And my guess is that Judge is a hard-driving, success-demanding type of guy, or else he wouldn't be this far in his career. I mean, there's 32 head coaching jobs in the NFL. He was a special teams coach, albeit for the New England Patriots. Had he been a special teams coach for the Detroit Lions, he doesn't get this job. But he was a special teams coach last season. You don't get these jobs, and you don't have the respect he does, the credibility around the coaching fraternity and around the NFL, because when he got this job, a lot of people said, hey, it was only a matter of time, only a matter of time. People really like this guy. He's a leader. You don't get those jobs from being a special teams coach and have that reputation unless you're a hard-driving, hard-nosed, my-way type of guy. Laid back, let's do it communally, kumbaya. You know, peace brokers don't make it that far that quickly. They can make it far, but they don't make it that quickly. So my guess is this is a bit of his style, confrontational, hard-nosed. This is the way that we do it, and he's had success doing it. This is why he's a head coach. But I think it's going to drive a first generation of staff members batty. I think he needs to have some success in the NFL to feel a little bit more at ease. I think maybe also he needs to understand what works for him at the NFL level, because you need assistant coaches that work for you, work around you, not work against you. And that's going to take some time to flesh out. I don't think it's the biggest deal in the world if a head coach has friction with his assistant coaches in year one of being a head coach. Sometimes you got to figure it out. And if you have the leeway or the latitude to make some changes in year two, you can make some changes. I think the one thing is you don't want the facility to become Fight Club. I don't think you want such tension that you've got stories like this where you're getting in each other's faces. There's arguments. People are being fired midseason. You should be able to handle this a little bit more diplomatically. And whereas for your head coach, I wonder if Joe Judge, just right now, very young, first job, hard driving, he might lack some tact. And maybe that comes with the job. Maybe it comes with a little bit more experience.
Yeah, and I think 11 weeks in, he's also learning that he had a couple guys forced upon him by the general manager and Jason Garrett, who brought in Mark Colombo. Because remember, if you remember that Bill Belichick, Nick Saban documentary, was very well noted, that Bill Belichick doesn't respect ex-coaches who purge his staff. And Joe Judge didn't do that, and he came in without a lot of help, and he had to get that help from his general manager and owner about how to fill out his staff. And my guess is, as he's learning to be a head coach, he's learning what guys are going to work with him on that staff and what guys aren't. And the guys that are being forced upon him seem to be the guys with that pack that he maybe needs to learn a little more that he's forcing out the door.
So you think the guys that he's at odds with were that Gettleman yes. said, you need to hire these guys?
Yeah, well, Jason Garrett had extreme ties. John Mara liked him to the Giants. He was a former Giant. Obviously, he was within the division. The Giants, I believe, felt he was a perfect fit for Judge as a former head coach to help him along the way. He brought in his ex-offensive line coach, Mark Colombo. And I'm not saying there's total friction between Garrett or Judge, but my point is that those guys had no relationship. They were part of the staff forced on Judge that they didn't have a relationship with. And, oh, look at this. Now those are the guys who have a problem with him, who maybe aren't used to working with him and working with his style.
Also hard to purge the Patriots coaching staff when there's like six different former Patriots assistant yeah. coaches in the NFL. Right. There's only so many to go around.
Right, and you can't hire a Belichick son to run the offense at this point since those are the whole staff now.
Here is Wizards GM Tommy Shepard on the report that John Wall wants to trade.
There's no plans to trade John. Obviously, that's unfortunate this time of year. I think the bait and tackle shop's wide open for business. There's a lot of people that get excited on the internet or whatnot.
I mean, I think if the Wizards could trade that contract, they absolutely would. I mean, I don't know how long or how far or how deep conversations go. I don't know if anybody does kick the tires on John Wall. But for the Wizards organization, how could you not want to get out from underneath the contract that pays John Wall $40 to $47 million over the next 3 years? They're on the hook this season upcoming, the next season, and a third season. His cap hit is $41 million this year, $44 next year, $47 in year three. A guy that is injury prone, a guy that can't stay on the floor, and a guy that has been unable to drag your franchise out of much more than kind of mediocrity and irrelevance into maybe slight relevance in a second round appearance in the playoffs, but not much more. I mean, I got a hard time believing that the Wizards are saying, no, we don't want to trade him. No. No interest in trading him. If they could, I think they would. But how much money are you going to eat on that contract just to trade him?
Also, Tommy Shepard sounds like Dave Shepard, and I now need to know if they're related, and this is why Shep loves the NBA. He sounded like Shep doing the bad accent.
I feel so bad.
The GM of the Wizards sounds like Shep. I need to hear Tommy Shepard again, the Wizards GM, to see if he sounds like...
There's no plans to trade John. Obviously, that's unfortunate this time of year. I think the bait and tackle shop's wide open for business. There's a lot of people that get excited on the internet or whatnot.
I was disgustingly off.
He does sound pretty much like Shep, doesn't he? He does sound like Shep.
Related.
Wow. The Wizards are being run by older Shep.
Why doesn't this man have a girlfriend? There's no reason for this man not to have a girlfriend. I don't mean just any girl. I mean a very special girl.
I think that was Shep talking about Jacob Wilkins, which when I think about that sentence is all types of hysterical. Why does this man have a girl? Not just talking about any girlfriend, but a very special girl.
I'd have to think about that. I know we're on air, but I'd really have to analyze that a lot more.
Meantime, Shep keeps holding his girlfriend hostage. Say you're my girlfriend. Say you're my girlfriend. Tell all the guys you're my girlfriend. And finally, last night, friendly fire from the Zach Gelb show as Gelb and Ryan Hickey, the other voice that you will hear, is my former producer on Sunday Morning Football. Wow. Now, taking some shots at Mraz's supposed food aficionado. Let's go into this.
I love Mraz, but he's a clown here. He's an absolute clown. And as I told him, Jerry Rice even drops a pass once in a while. He does. And for Mraz, this was him dropping a pass. He will get back on his horse. He will find a way to get the best out of him when it comes to his amazing food takes, and he'll still be a Hall of Famer when it comes to food. But in this case, he's just dead wrong. And I know he's going to ruin my Thanksgiving. Mraz, though, he thinks he's Simon Cowell. He thinks he's a Simon Cowell food. where his opinion is the end-all be-all on all food matters. There's no way, though, you tell me that pasta looks overcooked.
I will say this, Zach. It's a behind-the-scenes saying that we say a lot here when it comes to Mraz.
But I like him. A lot of people don't like him, though, here. I'm a fan and friend of Mraz. I don't know. You guys got into a big-time Twitter altercation a few weeks ago, and I don't think you actually like it.
So I am going to give you some advice that I failed to take a few weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
You took the bait. Yeah. You took the bait. He throws the bait out there. He puts the cheese out there, as the great Mike Carver used to say. And guess what? People like yourself, we bite.
Mm. Okay, let's pot down the music here, because I'd like to know, what the hell are we talking about?
No damn clue.
Was there what happened with a pasta picture? What happened?
I will tell you. The quick background is Zach Gelb loves posting pictures of food, but he's either really bad at taking pictures of food, or he's just not eating the right things, and he like pounds his chest about how all the great food
he eats. What do you mean he's not eating the right things? According to who?
According to me. The Simon Cowell of food.
Eating the right things, what, according to him getting fit? Or what, you have a dietary plan for him?
No, not for dietary reasons. I'm just talking about when he posts. Like,
you're telling him what he should like to eat. You should not like this.
If he posts a picture saying this is the world's greatest pizza and it's burnt to a crisp, I'm going to be like, what are you doing? He posts bad pictures. So last night, he posted a nice video and I was intrigued. Oh, look at this meal. And it's this pasta that's breaking apart because it's been overboiled. Okay, there was some nice tuna tartare in there. And all I simply said was, man, that pasta's overcooked. And, oh, you don't know what you're talking about. It's the alavaca. I like, it was this whole thing. And people don't like that I bought it. If I see food, I'm going to comment on it. Don't throw food out there and not expect it to be picked apart.
Do you ever comment and be positive about it?
I have, but the problem is Zach Elb's about 8 for 10 on bad food pictures. I've never seen somebody post more about food and it look distasteful than him. It's like an unbelievable trend. It's almost like he's doing it on purpose. It's like he's taunting me and I'm taking the bait. So I commented. I didn't say the rest of the food was bad. I said the pasta was overcooked. It was.
Well, so I don't even know why I'm going to go down this road, but I think that I saw on... I think that I saw on Twitter you were hammering him for the order as well, that he should not order at a restaurant, penne alla vodka, then that was a thing.
I don't have an issue with it. I have a former colleague I used to work with that says you are at the wrong Italian restaurant if the dish you have to go to is alla vodka. And it's somebody whose family owns an Italian restaurant, that's what people say. So it was just another. I said, look, this guy will tell you you're doing a bad job ordering too. I don't necessarily agree with that, but I've been hammered for that too. Apparently alla vodka is not the way to go, or you're not in the right Italian restaurant if that's what you're ordering.
Okay, A, you're hammering Gelb on the quality of his pictures, as well as the type of pasta or the overcookedness of the pasta.
More so.
And the type of dish at that specific Italian restaurant.
Again, that was more of a loophole. I was bringing somebody else in who's hammered me for that just to get his opinion on it because I know he's passionate about it. And I thought it could lead to something funny. Didn't really materialize. He didn't take a good enough swing.
And the rationale there is that what? Penne alla vodka is considered like a commoner food that it doesn't really show the quality of the restaurant.
Exactly. That basically, if that's what your palate is looking to handle at an Italian restaurant, you might as well be ordering off the kids' meal.
Might as well be chicken finger.
Right. And that's not just, by the way, that's not my take. That's an argument I've had with somebody else, and I've defended alla vodka before. So what you just got looped into and played was the most ridiculous food argument between five people last night on Twitter.
But I got to say, you're starting to get exposed because the staff knows now that you just set mouse traps, and then you're waiting for somebody to walk into them so that you can fight with them.
Yeah, I guess that's true. It all stemmed earlier in the day from me and Bill Ryder's producer, D-Ben, arguing over the Joe Burrow injury. I fell off the wagon on arguments on Twitter yesterday. We had arguments with several people, and it culminated in overcooked pasta.
But you're fighting with staff. You're fighting with colleagues and CBS Sports Radio staff, not just randos.
I hate the word fighting. These are people I respect and I know well, and I think we could discuss things on Twitter. We're not seeing each other in the newsroom. But apparently some people are just too sensitive to talk with me.
Maybe he'll fat shame Mraz.
You love getting under people's skin. You love it.
Sure.
You love it. And I have to think that it's a dark place somewhere in your brain or your heart or your soul where you
I have many.
you hang around during the course of the day and you just want to see somebody upset. You just want to be the one that turns the screw. And then on a random Monday afternoon, it's like, oh man, I just got to scratch that itch. I want somebody to be annoyed.
There is, if I saw a therapist, there would be somebody who said that. Yeah. And the great Joey Waller, Breaking Bad News, once told me, I'm the equivalent of somebody skating over in an NHL game and dropping the gloves for no reason. that's what I do on Twitter. I try to turn the momentum of the shift and just drop the gloves.
Andrew Bogish is our headlines. Bogues, good morning.
Here's Andrew.
Amy, DA, good morning. These headlines are sponsored by Progressive Insurance. Drivers who save with Progressive save over $750 on average. So call or click today and find out if we could save you hundreds on your car insurance. Rams QB Jared Goff was nearly perfect in the first half of Monday Night Football. He finished it off by hustling his team into position for a go-ahead field goal as time expired. And then he flirted with throwing it all away in the second half.
Goff gets the shotgun snap, second and 16 from his own 37, a pass down the middle. It's intercepted. It's picked off on a dive by Whitehead. 45, runs along the 45 to the near sideline, taken down there, runs into the bench. They will celebrate a big turnover, and Goff has thrown his second interception tonight.
Kevin Harlan on Westwood 1. The Bucs turned that pick into the tying touchdown with 3:53 to go, but Goff rebounded to set up Matt Gay's tie-breaking 40-yard field goal about 80 seconds later, and then Jordan Fuller picked off Tom Brady for a second time, and the Rams left Tampa Bay with a 27-24 victory.
We kind of fumbled it away there at the end a little bit, and then making that drive at the end of the game, I think, shows who we are, and then getting the interception. I mean, both of that, that sequence right there shows who we are and what we're made of, and I think it's a really good step in the right direction for all of us.
And now Goff's Rams are 7-3 in first place again in the NFC West. He finished 39-51 for 376 yards, 3 touchdowns, and those 2 picks. Robert Woods and Cooper Kupp combining for 23 catches, 275, and a TD from Woods. While the Bucs offense did less damage, just 251 yards total. Brady had the 2 bad picks, and now his team is 1-3 in primetime. The Ravens are dealing with 4 COVID-19 positives ahead of Thursday night's game with the Steelers. Running backs Mark Ingram and J.K. Dobbins, the players that tested positive. Nose tackle Brandon Williams is out as a close contact. The Vikings placed wideout Adam Thielen on their COVID list after playing against the Cowboys Sunday. We don't know if Thielen tested positive or is a close contact to someone who did. It continues in college hoops. Duke and Arizona lost tomorrow night's openers because their opponents have positive tests. Baylor has backed out of 2 games in Connecticut this week because head coach Scott Drew tested positive, and Ole Miss and Tennessee have paused activities. Vols head coach Rick Barnes among their positives. The Houston Rockets are adding
a positive test to start the basketball season. And remember, Jim Boeheim had it as well. Yeah. Apparently, Boeheim has now tested negative, so they're going to go forward with the Syracuse game, I think, at the end of this week against Bryant. But we're not even into the games yet, and how many coaches have had it? That's kind of crazy for college basketball.
Yeah, Tom Izzo came back from his 2-week hiatus yesterday, so there is some good news, but more to the negative side right now. The Houston Rockets are adding DeMarcus Cousins on the veterans minimum. Cousins didn't play last season for the Lakers after tearing his ACL, his 3rd major injury in about 3 years. The Cubs have given Jed Hoyer a new contract through 2025 after his promotion to team president. And the Rays reportedly open to trading Blake Snell, who has 3 years and $39 million left on his contract. The Rays never have cash, as we know, but it's worse now because of the pandemic. DA, back to you.
Which is hysterical because the NBA has also said, no money because of the pandemic. And yet Gordon Hayward gets $120 million and some obscene money being spent around the NBA. So I don't know how much I believe these teams and leagues when they say, pandemic, we just don't have the cash. And then contracts are being just through the roof. When we come back, this date in mothership history, the epic, iconic, legendary Thanksgiving draft. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
The one, come all, step inside. It's this date in mothership history.
Over the years, we here on the DA show have taken Thanksgiving very seriously because we take our food very seriously. This date in mothership history is a throwback to the Thanksgiving draft. Roll tape! Turkey's off the board at number one. That makes Pete the Body Bellotti on the board. The Body, what are you going with?
I'm going with a household staple of mine, ham.
I'm going to go with TV, because everything tastes better watching football.
Okay, so Mraz, now you'll have four and five here.
My number four, I'm going to go with the iPad. Number five, oh, man, I am going to go Lazy Boy.
Ooh, wow. iPad Lazy Boy, you have not drafted a food yet.
You know what? I got to relax. I just have to relax.
Wow.
I'm going to go with my first food item, mashed potatoes, DA.
I'm going to go with turducken. I'm going all meat.
Turducken, okay. I'm going to go stuffing. So I've got turkey and stuffing for the first two rounds. Now it comes back to me at number three. Give me the couch here. Give me the couch, stuffing, turkey, and the couch.
What am I doing? That's a solid roster, though.
Back to the Body Bellotti.
I'm going to meats again. Swedish meatballs.
Swedish meatballs. So you're all meat here. All meat all the time. All right, to the Body Bellotti. This is your final pick.
Go with some Italian cannolis. Hey.
Some cannoli.
Only he can't because I already picked the cannolis.
Oh, wow.
Pudding pie.
Pudding pie.
Only he can't because I already picked the pudding pie.
Wow. What happens in the NFL draft when you select a player that's already been selected?
I think you lose your card and somebody laps you. Two, I got the last two picks here, right? I will go with the antipas because at least I'll get some meat and cheeses out of that.
What do I have?
That's it.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm taking the antipas.
Okay.
I got a TV, a Lazy Boy, an antipas, and two desserts. Happy Thanksgiving to all.
I love the Thanksgiving draft. I loved how Pete the Body Bellotti went all meats with his first five picks.
Strategy.
Turducken. Swedish meatballs. Imagine serving that on Thanksgiving. Here you go, guys.
And ham.
Here's a duck, a chicken wrapped in a turkey. Here's a pig butt. And here's some Swedish meatballs from IKEA. Happy Thanksgiving! The Thanksgiving draft was so good. So, so good. So, Mraz, will you have limited Thanksgiving guests this year?
I'm going to my aunt's house where I believe the number is going to be at 12. Andrew Cuomo is called for 10, so we're a little worried about a knock on the door. It looks like
uh-oh.
12.
Governor says only 10. You guys are pushing it at 12.
12, yeah.
Rules breakers.
It's a bad scene, but it won't be overwhelming. We're going to be okay. We got a lot of food. My aunt's making two full turkeys for 12 people, so I think that's going to leave a lot of meat out there and a lot of meat sweats.
I would say so. I think that's overdoing it a bit.
Yeah, but I'm ready to pound, man. Last night I was just thinking about, like, wow, 72 hours from now, what am I going to feel like? And I'm getting excited. I'm starting to get, like, the jitters, you know, the week of the big game jitters. That's mm-hmm. what I'm getting going right now. I don't know about you.
You're coming through the tunnel. You're shaking things out a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah, and on the PGP, me and Bogus talk about, do you scale it down food-wise if it's only your internal household on Thanksgiving? Something that would paranoid the heck out of me. I don't know about you scaling down Thanksgiving food-wise if it's less people.
Well, I think we'll have most of the same dishes, but maybe just smaller portions. We're only doing six people at my Thanksgiving, right. Which, I got to tell you, this COVID thing is a great excuse not to have to see the people I don't want to see.
I understand that.
It's really great. I mean, I'm telling you, people might be a little bummed. Oh, I won't be able to see so-and-so. It's not going to be the same as previous years. Guys, embrace this. Embrace it. You don't have to see the family you don't like, especially right now where everybody's griping and fighting about everything, specifically politics. Why bother this year? Punt until 2021. They'll still be around, likely. So just punt. Small gathering, small group. Just do it internally. Not a big deal. And then, yeah, we'll see in 2021. I mean, this has been great. I'm telling you, there's people that I haven't wanted to see since March. I haven't had to see them. Family members. It's great. You know what? Make lemonade out of the lemons. Enjoy your marriage. Enjoy your quarantine.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you.
I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.